So, Father, we just thank you for another awesome night of fellowship where we can come together and just pray and praise and just share the wonderful things you're doing in our lives. And we just thank you for this group that you've brought together. We just ask you just guide us tonight, guide our lips tonight. Just allow us to edify and lift up each other. And we just thank you for just all you're doing in our lives, Lord. And we just bind up the enemy from any distractions, any issues with hardware, software, bandwidth, anything like that. We forbid that in Jesus' name. And Lord, we just thank you for a blessed night tonight. And just open up our hearts, open up our minds, and let us glorify you tonight. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. So, real quick, does anybody, I know Wade and Jeanette want to pray for their neighbor. Does anybody else have any prayer? You want to go ahead and lift up your neighbor, Wade?
Okay, I'm unmuted now.
Yes, sir.
You hear me? That's good. Okay, yes. Jeanette? Okay. My next-door neighbor had an aneurysm almost a year ago, and she's been in nursing homes and hospitals the whole time. Well, now the hospital threw her out, won't let her back, because they're no longer able to treat her pneumonia with antibiotics. She's become, the pneumonia's become immune to antibiotics. And so we want to pray that God would have her immune system overcome this illness, and that she would recover from her paralysis and everything that keeps her away from being home with her husband.
She suffered a stroke.
No, it was an aneurysm. Anyways, her husband is not doing well either. He wants to be there every minute as he can. So I want to pray for him that he be at ease. He's coming to the Lord, or we talk a lot about the Lord, and that really blesses me that he's willing to listen and hear about Jesus. And so I pray for Loretta Logan, that her immune system, that God would heal her, whether it's through the immune system or however he wants, in Jesus' name, and that she could return home soon, because if she can't, my neighbor will be thrown out of his apartment, because he's got to have two people living there within a year's period, and we don't want to see that happen. Kind of cruel, but that's... Anyway, so we pray for Loretta Logan, and that God would heal her supernaturally, or however he desires. Amen. If anybody wants to add to that, I would appreciate it.
Amen. So, Father, right now, we just lift up Loretta to you. We just come against that pneumonia right now in the name of Jesus. We forbid it in Jesus' name. We just command those lungs to be cleansed in the name of Jesus. We just come against this attack on her immune system right now. We forbid it in Jesus' name. We call that immune system to be strengthened. We just call her body to line up with the Word of God. We just thank you for just raising her up, Lord. Father, we just ask, Lord, that you just meet her where she's at. We don't know where her faith is. And Lord, we just ask that you just use this trial to draw her to you, Lord. And we just thank you for that, Lord. And we lift up her husband, and we just pray for his salvation. We pray for a renewed mind, that you'll grant him repentance, that you'll just put a hunger for truth into him. And Lord, we just ask you just give Wade and Jeanette just wisdom and just meekness and to share the good news with him. And we just praise you for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Father God.
Amen. All right, is that it, Wade?
Sure.
Anything else? All right, I'm going to go ahead and mute you.
Oh, I can mute myself.
Okay, awesome. So, all right, anybody else? Have anybody they want to pray for or might need prayer?
Tim?
Hey, Judy.
Yeah, I'd like to pray for a friend of mine, John, and Julie are friends of ours for like 50 years. And John, I think I prayed for him before. John has cancer, and he had an operation, but he finally had to have this catheter in him for like 2 weeks. He finally got that out, but now they're saying that they may not have got it all. Something about a test came back not positive or something, so they have to do another test in a couple weeks, and they might have to start chemo on March the 14th. And he seems to get pneumonia really, really easy. And he's got it again. He had it right when he came home from the hospital, like about 2 weeks ago. Now he's got it again. He only has a third of his heart. He just is really battling a lot of stuff. And she's a believer, and through all of this, he's praying more and more than she's ever prayed. So I'm thanking the Lord so much for bringing her closer to the Lord. I don't know about him because I really haven't talked to him that much, but I know it is her. So I praise the Lord for bringing her closer. But I am asking the Lord to, you know, Father, I pray that you pray it for John Martin, bring him up to you, that you are going to take care of his cancer. If there's any left there, that it's going to be gone in Jesus' name. And then he won't have to even have his chemo in March when they want to do it, that he is free completely from cancer. And even his heart is healed. And none of these ammonia attacks are going to come on him anymore. So, Lord, we're asking for complete healing on John, and we thank you that you're bringing both of them closer to you in this trial that you're putting them through. And I give you all the praise, Lord, and give them peace, understanding, and help them by putting your arms around them and giving them strength. Thank you, Lord, so much for everything that you do. And I give you all the praise, all the praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Amen. 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 So, Father, we just thank you. We just curse that pneumonia in him right now in the name of Jesus. And we command those lungs to open up and breathing to be normal in Jesus' name. And, Lord, we don't know where John is either. We just pray for him that I just pray for his salvation. You'll grant him repentance, Lord. And Lord, we know you can give him a new heart, and we know that cancer is healed in Jesus' name. We're believing that. We've been praying for him. We're just believing the good news, Lord. We are not believing the bad news of the doctors, and Lord, we thank you for his wife's salvation. We thank you for using this trial to draw her closer to you, Lord. And Father, we thank you for the hunger you're putting in her for truth. We thank you for the hunger for righteousness. We thank you for hunger for your word. Just continue to draw her, Lord. And we just thank you for both John and her salvation. Just a true salvation, Lord. And we praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Also, Tim, I don't know if I said something about, I know I had asked for prayer for my daughter because she wasn't getting very many times to be able to work because her boss didn't like her very well. She wasn't working very good. She needed glasses. She did get them. But anyhow, now things are just going really good. Her boss is just having her work like 4 days a week, and she was only working one day a week. And I'm praying for more days, so things are just looking so much better, and I want to praise the Lord for doing that for Amy, and I give him all the praise. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We thank you for answering Judy's prayers, Lord, and
yes, Lord.
Blessing your daughter, and we thank you that she will see you in this, and this will draw her daughter closer to you, and, you know, come into the fullness of your truth, Lord. Draw her, Lord. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, and we praise you. Thank you.
Amen. All right. Who else would like to pray or needs prayer?
Yes, Tim?
Hey, Matthew.
I would just like to ask for a prayer for my teeth. It's just lately, a couple of them have been rotting out, and I've got some wisdom teeth coming in, so I'm getting a little pain from both. So I'd like us all to stand in agreement that my teeth are healed and there won't be any pain.
Awesome. Do you want to pray or do you want me to pray?
I'll pray.
Okay.
Father, we come to you, Lord, and we command that these rotted teeth will be made whole in the name of Jesus. And we command the pain from the new teeth coming in to be gone in the name of Jesus. And I thank you so much, Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen. And Father, right now, we just rebuke that pain off of Matthew right now. And we speak to those teeth. We command just new enamel in his mouth, just new teeth where the or new enamel where those teeth have been rotting, and we command those teeth to line up right now. That the that those wisdom teeth will come in perfectly and cause no issues, and we just praise you for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Who else needs prayer or wants to pray? All right. I'd like to share a little testimony. I picked up Michael at the airport last night, and we were able to fellowship till about 2:30 in the morning, and got back up this morning. I think it was around 8, and probably fellowship till around 4 o'clock, and it was just an awesome time in the Lord. And really getting to know my brother in Christ. And it was just, it was a blessing. And so I'm glad he made it to Tennessee. So it was kind of neat. But so I just wanted to share that praise report. So anybody else have a praise report?
Hey, Tim.
Hey, Jackie.
I have one. I just want to thank the Father for answered prayer yesterday. My niece that we had all prayed for and agreed for healing from the flesh-eating bacteria that she had was being attacked with several different wounds the last few days. And yesterday it got unbearable, like it was the first time when she initially went in and thought it was just like a simple cyst that would need lanced, and that ended up with that whole scenario that the Lord took her through. Well, yesterday she was in a lot of pain, so she called and said she was going to MedExpress and asked if she could drop her baby off here, and I said yes, and she was really scared. She had a lot of fear, and I think some of the fear jumped on me. She was just crying, and I just laid my hands on her and just prayed. And when she came back from MedExpress, she said they gave her a very bad report there, and she was to go up to the hospital. So I think that's when I received fear. I don't know how I was rebuking it and standing against it, but nonetheless, I was apprehensive, and the whole scene played back in my mind that she had gone through. So I had reached out to several brethren and just asked for prayer, and asked the prayer team to become involved, and I just praise the Father for the body of Christ that was able to stand with me and to pray for my niece. And I just praise him for answered prayer. She went to the emergency room, and the wound, she has two different ones that developed quickly, and I actually took a look at them today. She came over, and the one they lanced, and they're packing again, and but it's not very big. It's just it's pretty small, and everything in the natural eyes to me look good. And she's supposed to go back tomorrow to the emergency room, so I'm just believing that when she goes back tomorrow that everything, will be fine, and she'll get a good report, and it'll put her mind at ease. And it's just amazing because the situation seemed so similar to the last time, and the Lord just took control, and he listened and heard all the faithful prayers of the saints going up for her, and it was in unison because we were all praying together and believing and just standing, and I'm just in awe that he just answered everything and sent her home last night. I was just praising him, and I kept her son, and I was even praising with him this morning. We put on some praise and worship videos, and we were dancing around and just having a good time. So she asked if we would all. She told me to thank everybody for praying, and she really appreciates it. And she just asked if you would pray for her that everything would go good tomorrow, that there would be no infection, which we came against, and no complications. And she's just suffering in a lot of pain because this new wound, the one that they had opened up yesterday, is on the left side of her. It's kind of been her buttocks, groin area. It's like deep underneath. And the one from last March where she had the flesh-eating bacteria is still open, about the size of maybe like a chestnut on the right side. So it's very hard for her to walk. And then the new one that just developed yesterday is right in the middle of her bum, so right in the middle of her buttocks. And she's going to have them look at that tomorrow. But I'm just standing in faith for her, and I just ask if everybody will just stand in faith, and that if you wouldn't mind praying for her, Tim, please.
Okay, and what is her name?
Shannon.
Annan? Okay.
Yes, Shannon.
Oh, Shannon. Shannon, okay. Shannon. All right, let's all just put our faith together right now. Just focus on Shannon. And Father, we just put our faith together right now. We just lift Shannon up to the throne of grace. And Father, we just thank you for what you've already done in her. And we thank you for the good report tomorrow, Lord. Father, right now we just speak to this curse that's attacking her body, and we forbid it in the name of Jesus. We command those wounds to be healed. We command that curse off her body right now. We command that bacteria to die in Jesus' name. And Father, we just thank you. We just rebuke fear off of Shannon and off of Jackie right now in the name of Jesus. We just thank you for just putting your peace and your rest in them, knowing that you've got it, that they just need to just to enter into that rest and know that you've got it. And we just praise you for that, Lord. And we forbid the enemy to attack Shannon anymore, Lord. We forbid it in Jesus' name. And we thank you for just the awesome report that she's going to get tomorrow. Amen. And we just rebuke pain off her now. We just command that pain to go in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father. It's been an amazing testimony all along compared to what she came against. And I just praise you, Father, for the love that you have upon my niece, and the mercy that you're just granting her until you just keep drawing her towards you, and that she just submits and repents and comes fully to you and just follows after you and your ways, Lord. I just praise you, and I'm just going to stand in the gap for her as long as I can, Lord. I'm just waiting, and it's just going to be an awesome day, and I just praise you for that. And I also wanted to confess that I did repent for falling out of the rest yesterday, because I really felt like I was failing the Father in my thoughts, you know. I don't know if it actually became sin because I was thinking. So I don't know if it was like double-mindedness, or if it was fear, or if it was, I don't know what was going on. There was so much just playing in my head. The battle was just so intense. And so I did repent, and so I just wanted to confess that.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for delivering me. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Why don't you just give us a little snapshot of, you know, the praise report for Shannon? I mean, what she went through before.
Well, she last March she had she thought an ingrown hair in her groin, and overnight she put warm compresses on it to draw it out, and which is a normal procedure to do, and overnight it just grew to like the size of almost two fists, and she couldn't close her legs, and she called me, and she went up to the emergency room, and they told her that she had a flesh-eating bacteria and that it had eaten so much of her groin and inside of her stomach and inside her abdomen, and the area was like, I forget exactly, but I think it was like 24 centimeters, excuse me. And it was pretty deep. They operated on her immediately, and they put her, she was in for 8 days, and she had operation after operation, and that's what threw the fear into her yesterday, because she said, I was just going to the emergency room to get the cyst lanced, and last time, you know, I woke up in the ICU with a tube down my throat, and she just got so scared, and she was fearful for her baby, because she's a single mom, and she struggles a lot, so the report was very bad in the beginning. They didn't think she was going to make it when she was in the ICU, and I remember just praying over her, and she got a lot of peace from it, and she was humbled. She couldn't speak because she was intubated where she had a tube down her throat, so she couldn't talk. She could just shake, you know, her head, and she was pretty sedated because of the tube, so... But she was receptive to me praying because I asked, and I just felt the presence of the Lord there, and went in for another operation, and they thought they got most of it out, and then she had to wait a day, and then they went back in, and she was in for a total of 8 days, but they told her if she wouldn't have gone that day to the emergency room, she probably would have died, and the statistics were... so much against her, like I think it's like 1 in 5 or something like that, I forget exactly, when she told me that make it and the other ones die, and so she had every surgeon, every doctor, all these nurses, everybody was coming into her room, and she was laughing, you know, towards the end, because she said, I feel like the new animal at the zoo, because everybody's coming in to look at me, and they were just all thanking, you know, her for making it through, and, you know, they didn't think she would survive, and so they instilled a lot of fear, I think, into her, and she came home, and she was on IV antibiotics, and the father of the baby is not really involved much in the life, and my past history of being a nurse, I could have helped her tremendously through this time, but for some reason the father removed me from the situation because I had broken my leg 2 days before she went in. So I was kind of not able to go down and help her. I couldn't drive, and I could barely even hop around on the crutches. So I told her, I think the Lord, I mean, he works things out. Still not sure, you know, the reason for my trial, but he's revealing some things to me about that, but I think he worked it out so she would lean on him and I wouldn't be her savior, and that's what he's brought me to teach her, that I can't save you, I could pray for you, I could believe for you, you know, I can help you, but I can't be your savior, and so he just removed me physically from the whole situation, so she had to go through, she was had to wake herself up like every 6 hours. She was given IV antibiotics to herself, and she had to see so many different specialists. She was in and out, and she had 2 large wounds, and the one, they were packing 8-inch long gauze, 4 rolls of them, which are probably like maybe 2 inches thick. And 4 of those went into the one wound initially. That's how deep the bacteria just ate instantly overnight. And She was told she was a gestational diabetic when she had the baby, and the diabetes came back, and they told her that that had complicated everything. And she's just, I know the Lord's trying to get her attention, and she's very sweet. I love her so much, and she's trying the best she can, but the hunger isn't there. The submission's not there yet. The repentance isn't fully there yet either. So I'm just praying and believing for her. So she's seen so many different specialists, and the newest one that I went with her last month, she's seeing a plastic surgeon because the area where this was is in her private area, and she had a lot of issues going to the bathroom and just different things because it had eaten halfway, like, across her private area for a woman, and the bacteria just kind of just chewed a big chunk out. So she's got a lot of, they want to do a lot of reconstruction on her so she won't have problems down the road. I'm just telling her to believe, you know, not receive these reports, but she doesn't understand that quite yet. So I'm just trying to have the Lord lead me in my words. I'm trying to cast down the knowledge that I have from nursing that can, sometimes the more you know, the worse it is. Sometimes that plays a fearful thing in me, I think, and I cast that off a lot and just try to stand against that. But these new wounds just started. They just appeared like the first one. And I think that's where she got fearful. And then she was there yesterday. And then another one just appeared last night. And they just actually feel like hardened nodules underneath the skin, like as if you would rub your knuckles or something like that. And when I looked at her today, you know, she's able to walk around a little bit. It's hard because she has two open wounds, one on the left, one on the right. So she kind of walks like with her legs spread open, and she's just suffering. She's just suffering. So just praise God for his mercy on her.
Amen. Father, we just thank you and praise you for your, for just mercy, Lord. Just granting Shannon just a change of mind, Lord. Father, we just thank you for just granting her repentance, Lord. Just, you know, granting her just putting in her, you know, just your faith, Lord. Because right now she doesn't have your faith, but we know it comes from you. So, Lord, we just ask you to give her mercy and give her faith, Lord, that she can stand strong and, you know, through this trial, Lord. And Lord, we just ask you just whatever it takes to get her attention, if it's in a dream, you know, appearing to her in her room, just speaking to her in her spirit. We just ask, Lord, that you just, we're just asking you mercy on her, Lord, to just, you know, just grant her just a total renewed mind towards you, Lord. And we just rebuke the enemy for trying to devour her right now in Jesus' name. We just thank you, Lord, for your mercy and grace. Amen.
Thank you,
you, Lord.
Praise him, because I told my niece when she came out of the hospital, I said, honey, we need to get on our knees and praise God because he spared your life to raise your son. You need to be here for your son. And I think he's keeping her here for that. And I'm trying to help her raise him, you know, the right way in Christ. But there's a lot of spirits that come against it. Somebody's phone is ringing.
Welcome to Verizon.
Hello?
We hear you.
Okay, I'm sorry, I was muted. Go ahead, Jackie.
I'm sorry, I heard the phone ringing and then I thought maybe my phone crashed or something. But thank you for praying. That was an awesome prayer, and I just stand in agreement. And I just praise God so much for the body of Christ, because when you're here, you know, alone battling it, and they're not understanding, and you know, I have a family that understands. So it's awesome. I just thank God for you guys. I just love you all so much.
Amen. And we love you. And that's what the body's for. You know, when one part of the body hurts, I mean, we all hurt. And, you know, so it's really, and that's why we come together, because there's times where we're weak and we need prayer and we need to be, we need the body there for us. And there's other times where we can share a testimony for somebody who's in a trial that we've already gone through to help them, you know. Or we can share an encouraging scripture or word or something. So that's, you know, it's really a neat function of, you know, of this fellowship, where we can come together and pray for each other and enter in faith for different people's trials or situations they're going through. So that's body ministry, you know.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right.
Brother.
What's that, Jackie?
I said, thank you, brother.
Oh, thank you. So, all right. Father, we lift up Jackie. We just thank you for just strengthening her and just refreshing her spirit, Lord. Just refreshing her mind and helping her to just stay in the peace, stay in the rest, and do in her your good pleasure, Lord. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else have a testimony they'd like to share? Or brag on the Lord? Anything the Lord's been showing you? Any dreams? Any?
Hello, Tim.
Hey, Marlin.
This is Gaynell this time.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Gaynell.
Yeah. I just wanted to share a praise report. I had been having trouble with my hip for quite a while, and it's been the last couple of weeks now. I've been able to go up and down steps just like normal, and I just praise him for that, because it was really difficult. And he's so faithful to answer our prayers, and he's helped me with many things, but that's the one thing that is on the top of my mind right today, I guess, that I'm able to go up and down steps easily now. So thank him for that. I had something else I wanted to read. It was in a service bulletin. We had gone to a friend's funeral, and this little paragraph is written by Norman McLeod. I think that's how we might pronounce his last name. It says, "We picture death as coming to destroy. Let us rather picture Christ as coming to save. We think of death as an ending. Let us rather think of life as beginning, and that more abundantly. We think of losing. Let us think of gaining. We think of parting. Let us think of meeting. We think of going away. Let us think of arriving. And as the voice of death whispers, 'You must go from earth,' let us hear the voice of Christ saying, 'You are but coming to me.'" I was really blessed by that. I just happened to notice that in this service bulletin this morning, and I thought that was, I liked the way that was worded, and it's comforting. And that was all I wanted to share. Bless you all.
Amen. No, that's so true, because, you know, we do look at death as a loss, and sometimes I think it's, you know, it's definitely a loss when they're, you know, not a believer. You know, it's kind of a sad time, but when you know somebody has had the fruit of the Lord, and you know, after hearing Tom Kruger's testimony about being in heaven, and just some of the other testimonies we've seen as far as you know, people going to heaven and just how awesome heaven is. You know, you just, I look at death as a whole different, you know, a different thing, because it's like, you know, I'm really seeing this earth as just how disgusting, you know, this earth is becoming, and how evil and how dark and how, you know, just the corruption and the deceit and the lust and just everything that's in this earth. And, you know, it's just, you know, getting off this dirt ball and entering into the, you know, the kingdom, you know, and, you know, is just got to be one of the most awesome things. And even Tom said, I mean, he, you know, he's got a, you know, a wife and, you know, a few kids, and he didn't want to come back. It was like, I did not want to come back. And the Lord told me I had to come back. But, you know, the people that get there do not want to come back. And but yeah, it's a whole, you know, it's a whole different, you know, different way of looking at it. It's just, but that's true. It's just, you know, it's entering eternal life. You know, it's not death. It's, you know, being changed in that moment and being in, you know, in the kingdom. It's going to be a glorious time. So,
yeah, but that's what I was thinking about that too. It's the glory of God and His love, and yeah, it's just pretty cool.
Amen. That's how much He loves us, huh?
Right.
We were created to fellowship with Him, and He just wants to, you know, He just wants to spend eternity with us. So, you know, He gives us, you know, that's just a awesome graduation. Amen.
It's a blessing that He puts that desire in our hearts too. You know, it is truly a gift when He gives us that gift of wanting to praise Him and wanting to worship Him.
That's so true. And you know, we pray for a lot of our loved ones, and, you know, Jackie's, you know, praying for her niece and you know, just to be able to come into that fullness. But that, you know, that free will we're giving just bucks. I mean, right there, our the mind of the flesh is the enemy of God, and that mind gets in the way of our spirit. And, you know, it just, I used to think that I had to give something up. And, you know, just if I come to the Lord, I'm going to have to give up all these things. And, but really what I had to give up was the bondage I was in. And, you know, but you don't know you're in the bondage. So until you start walking this walk of faith and the Lord starts peeling that stuff off you. And it's an awesome, it's freedom. It's just total freedom. You know, it's not easy, but it's, as you go through, you know, the different trials and that, and you get rid of these bondages, it's just awesome freedom. So, that's kind of neat. All right. Anybody else want to brag on the Lord or have something on your heart?
Hi, Dale.
Hey, Michael here. Sounds like you're in the bathtub. Sound like water splashing in the background.
Do what?
Now, when you first came on, it sounded like water splashing in the background, like you're in the bathtub. So, no, go on.
Yeah, I'm in the bathtub. No, we have been doing a Bible study, and it's Salvation Instant and Progressive. And this was the last chapter that we were in, and David mentioned a few facts about the Enoch's pyramid, the great pyramids over in Egypt. And I got online, and if you'd like, I'd like to just give you a few facts about that great pyramid and what it, how it's situated and all of that. If you think we got a little time, it won't take very long. Hello?
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Historical analysis shows that the pyramids were built between 2589 and 2504 BC. And it says there are so many interesting facts about this pyramid that it baffles archaeologists, scientists, astronomers, and tourists. He said the pyramid is estimated to have around 2,300,000 stone blocks that weigh from 2 to 30 tons each. And there are even some blocks that weigh over 50 tons. Now, the two other pyramids around it, there's three altogether. They call them the Pyramid of Menkaure, the Pyramid of Khafre, and the Great Pyramid of Khufu, are precisely aligned with the constellation of Orion. The base of the pyramid covers 55,000 metric square, or 592,000 feet squared. Squared, with each side greater than 218,000 feet squared in area. It's about 13 acres, I believe, is what they said. It says the interior temperature is constant and equals the average temperature of the Earth at 68 degrees Fahrenheit. The outer mantle was composed of 144,000 casing stones, all of them highly polished and flat to an accuracy of 1/100th of an inch, about 100 inches thick, and weighing approximately 15 tons each. The cornerstone foundations of the pyramid have ball and socket construction capable of dealing with heat expansion and earthquakes. The mortar used is of an unknown origin. Yes, no explanation given. It has been analyzed, and its chemical composition is known, but it cannot be reproduced. It is stronger than the stone and still holding up today. It was originally covered with casing stones made of highly polished limestone. These casing stones reflected the sun's light and made the pyramid shine like a jewel. They are no longer present, being used by Arabs to build mosques after an earthquake in the 14th century loosened many of them. It has been calculated that the original pyramid with its casing stones would act like a gigantic mirror and reflect light so powerful that it would be visible from the moon as a shining star on Earth. Appropriately, the ancient Egyptians called the Great Pyramid Ikhet, meaning the glorious light. How these blocks were transported and assembled into the pyramid is still a mystery. Aligned true north. The Great Pyramid is the most accurately aligned structure in existence and faces true north with only 3/60th of a degree of error. The position of the North Pole moves over time, and the pyramid was exactly aligned at one time. The center of land mass. The Great Pyramid is located at the center of the land mass of the Earth. The east-west parallel that crosses the most land and the north-south meridian that crosses the most land intersect in two places on the Earth, one in the ocean and the other at the Great Pyramid. The four faces of the pyramid are slightly concave, the only pyramid to have been built this way. The centers of the four sides are indented with an extraordinary degree of precision, forming the only eight-sided pyramid. This effect is not visible from the ground or from a distance, but only from the air, and then only under the proper lighting conditions. This phenomena is only detectable from the air at dawn and sunset on the spring and autumn equinoxes, when the sun casts shadows on the pyramid. The granite coffer in the king's chamber is too big to fit through the passages, so it must have been put in place during construction. The coffer was made out of a block of solid granite, and this would have required bronze saws 8 to 9 foot long, set with teeth of sapphires. Hollowing out of the interior would require tubular drills of the same material applied with a tremendous vertical force. Microscopic analysis of the coffer reveals that it was made with a fixed point drill that used hard jewel bits and a drilling force of 2 tons. The Great Pyramid had a swivel door entrance at one time. Swivel doors were found in only 2 other pyramids, Khufu's father and grandfather, Snefru and Huni, respectively. It is reported that when the pyramid was first broken into, that the swivel door, weighing some 20 tons, was so well balanced that it could be opened by pushing out from the inside with only minimal force. But when closed, was so perfect a fit that it could scarcely be detected, and there was not enough crack or crevice around the edges to gain a grasp from the outside. With the mantle in place, the Great Pyramid could be seen from the mountains in Israel and probably the moon as well. The weight of the pyramid is estimated at 5,955,000 tons, and multiplied by 10 to the 8th power gives a reasonable estimate of the Earth's mass. The descending passage pointed to the pole star Alpha Draconis, and this was the north star at that point in time. No other star has aligned with the passage since then. The southern shaft in the king's chamber pointed to the star Al-Nitka, or Zeta Orionis, in the constellation Orion, circa 2450 BCE. The Orion constellation was associated with the Egyptian god Osiris. No other star aligned with this shaft during that time in history. The sun's radius, twice the perimeter of the bottom of the granite coffers times 10 to the 8th power, is the sun's mean radius. And it gives the formula. The curvature designed into the faces of the pyramid exactly matches the radius of the earth. And the Great Pyramid of Giza is the oldest and largest, rising at 481 feet. Archaeologists say it was the tallest structure in the world for about 3,800 years. The relationship between pi and phi is expressed in the fundamental proportions of the Great Pyramid. And that's just the physical characteristics of it. And there is a book out by Noah Hutchins called The Great Pyramid, the Stone Prophecies or something like that. And it talks about the prophetic implications inside the chambers of the Great Pyramid, and how it talks about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and the end times, and all kinds of good stuff. And it's a fascinating study. And of course, if you've been reading or listening to David much, you know that he feels like that Enoch and his sons were the ones that built it. And I do too. I think that they were the ones, and I think it's all built by God's hand. And nobody knows. They can't duplicate the Great Pyramid today with the technology and the machinery that we have. So that's all I got on that. I thought that was quite interesting.
No, that's really interesting. What did David write as far as in the end of the book? Do you have that? Or what was you talking about?
Yeah, just give me a second here and I'll get it.
Okay. Yeah, it's stuff like that is just, mind-boggling as far as, if we can't, with the technology we've got today, to copy something like that, it would have to be the hand of God, So, that's...
Yeah, all those three pyramids went through the flood as well. And there's a lot of stuff there. Let me see what it says here. Did you know, you want me to go ahead and read this? It's just a little old paragraph.
Yeah, that's fine.
Did you know that the Great Pyramid was built by Enoch and his sons as a prophecy from God? Inside it, there is a timetable of history and for coming events. It also has many measurements encoded, such as the Earth's circumference and the distance between the Earth and the Moon, but the chief cornerstone was never laid. It was rejected by the builders. It was a prophecy of our chief cornerstone, Jesus. The Great Pyramid, Prophecy in Stone by Noah W. Hutchins, is a book about the prophecies of the Great Pyramid. And you can buy that book online if you so desire. You see, the Great Pyramid wasn't built when the other pyramids was built. It was built before the flood. The other pyramids were built later by the Egyptians because they saw the properties that were in the Great Pyramid and they copied it. The Bible talks about the Great Pyramid in several places because it's a prophecy about the church and the chief cornerstone. According to archaeologists, the Great Pyramid went through the flood and didn't settle 1/100th of an inch anywhere. It's built on and socketed down into a solid rock. It's amazing. Engineers are doubtful it could be built today, even with all our modern machinery. And that's what he says about it.
Okay, awesome.
You know, one thing, it sits right in the middle, north, south, east, and west, all align with the corners of the Great Pyramid. It's an amazing accomplishment by man, probably through the help of angels. I don't know, but I don't know what they had back then before the flood, and we don't either. But whatever they had was supernatural to build something that of that magnitude, that precision, knowing the precise measurements from the Earth to the Moon and all of those other measurements that they had. It was just amazing. It's just an amazing structure.
Yeah, that is pretty amazing. And we have no idea as far as we think that, we've got this great wisdom, worldly wisdom and, technology and all that. And I've seen, a few documentaries on that of stuff that they have, unearthed that is unexplainable as far as that. And metals that were purer than the metal we have now, and just different things that archaeologists have unearthed that there's no explanation to, as far as of, other, societies or, other life, that are, civilizations, that were on the earth that might have been taken out by the flood or, whatever, but it's pretty interesting. So when things don't make sense, God's behind it. Amen. So, all right. Anybody have a thought on what we've been talking about?
Yeah, Michael, I don't know if Greg is doing that study with you guys that you're talking about with that book, but, he visited those pyramids over there. He might be able to give you a lot of information on some of that stuff. And I just have been reading that book that you were talking about, and to me that is just really an outstanding book. There really isn't anything we haven't had before, but sometimes in the way it's explained and the way, you know, a different version of something, it just really helps you understand it. And I just thought that book is really a good book.
Yes, it is, Marlon. It's one of the best books in the library, actually. it's one to give Baptist people like that that are interested in the truth. It is an awesome, awesome book. We have really thoroughly enjoyed studying this whole book. We spent the last I don't know how many weeks we've been in it, but we take our time and go through it every week for about a couple hours, an hour and a half, 2 hours. And it's really, really interesting, and a lot of revelations in there about salvation and other things too. It's a good book. We just finished it this past Wednesday, yesterday.
Yeah, I think I'm coming to the last chapter. I'm just about there, but I just thought, you know, there were things in there that I didn't understand before that just, I don't know if it was the way that he explained it or what, but it just became clear to me. I just really thought it was good.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's just, you know, you can hear, you know, any teacher. You can hear David. I mean, when he does, you know, does a teaching or broadcast or whatever, and when it's compiled into print form, and you just take your time and you go through it and you look up the scriptures and. Because what we would do is we would take, you know, a chapter, and, you know, what we do locally in our little, you know, Bible study is, you know, we might take a chapter. If it's a long chapter, we might cut it in two, and then, you know, the previous week, everybody will go through it, and you know, it's, you know, let's usually a chapter is probably an hour teaching of David, and it might, you know, Trish and I might spend... We could spend 5 or 6 hours going through one chapter because it just, you know, brings other things to light, you know, as far as that. Or we might get into, you know, we go back, we look up some of the scriptures and that, and it might lead us somewhere else. And just the conversations we have and the depth, you know, that we're seeing, it's hard to get that depth when you're just listening in a one-hour type thing. But when you sit down and you really go through it, and you see that, you know, it's just how the church has just watered it down, just accept Jesus. But there's a manifestation there, and it's all through the Word as far as, you know, the manifestation. You just see how things are just made so simple and just watered down just to fill the pews. But it's really... a neat thing to be able to really sit down and go through it. And then even once we go through it, we just hit the highlights when we get together, and we, you know, probably spend 2 to 3 hours, you know, just sharing what we got out of it. And so it's kind of neat how you can, you know, if you really want to get into a depth of the Word, and, you know, you see, you know, there's, you know, God, you know, has put teachers out there, and he gives revelation, and it gets us, it challenges us to see a deeper depth or a type or a shadow or, you know, and, you know, as far as of the Word. And when you're challenged to look into it, and all of a sudden you start understanding it, it just starts coming alive, and you start seeing it throughout the whole Word. So it's kind of neat. But yeah, I agree that it is an awesome book. Because the church is, you know, just kind of simplified what salvation is, but it's you know, it's got a lot of depth to it. So, all right, anybody else? Anything on anybody's heart? Anything God's showing you? Michael Montana, you got anything on your heart?
I think I unloaded it all at your house.
Oh, that's fine. No, we just... I mean, we just had some great conversations, and you know, Michael was really talking about seeing God in nature, and just talking about, you know, the seed and the awesomeness of a seed, and we just got in some really good conversations, and I just before I got on here, you know, an area we were talking about was in 1 Peter, and I kind of went back and read it because we were talking about it today, and I'd like to kind of read this, but it was just my head, honestly, my head has been, you know, since we just kind of talked, there was just so much of us talk, my head is just kind of swimming right now, and I'm just seeing some deeper revelations in some different areas, and so I was just going to read, I'm going to start in 1 Peter 1 and 13, where it says, wherefore, and Michael Montan, if you want to add it at any time, these are just some thoughts that I've got, and, you know, but it says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and set your hope perfectly on the grace that is to be brought unto you as the revelation of Jesus Christ, or at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And, you know, we know, you know, that revelation is Jesus appearing through us, but it's the, you know, it's girding up the, you know, the loins of your mind, the inner parts of your mind, you know, and it's being sober, you know, it's walking in sobriety in the spirit. It's not being, you know, load by the, you know, the lusts of your flesh, or, you know, or what the world offers or anything like that, but it's really walking sober in the spirit and setting your expectations, you know, it says perfectly on the grace that is to be brought onto you. And it's all done by grace. There's nothing we can do. You know, I'm going to go ahead and mute Cheryl there. There's absolutely nothing we can do. It's all the grace of God. We can't work hard for it. It's all by grace. And it says, as children of obedience, and that's the only thing we really have to bring forth is obedience, not fashioning yourself according to your former lusts, or, you know, who you were, that old man, okay, in your ignorance, because back then when we were walking in that, we were ignorant of the truth. It says, but like as he who called you is holy, be ye yourself also holy in all manner of living. Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on him as Father, who without respect of person judges according to each man's work, pass the time of your sojourning in fear. And that's the fear of the Lord. Knowing that you were redeemed, not with corruptible things, with silver, gold, from your vain manner of life, handed down from your fathers, but with the precious blood of the Lamb, without spot, of Christ, who was foreknown indeed before the foundations of the world, but was manifested at the end of times for your sake, who through him, through Christ, are believers in God, that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing you have purified your souls. And that's what it's all about right there, is the purification of your soul. You know, that's the saving of your soul, the, you know, your carnal mind, your will, you know, to have things your way, you know, your emotions, and, you know, everything that's tied into that. But it's it's purifying that soul, because, I mean, we got to give up our soul life to take on his soul life, you know, his mind, his will, his emotions. And it's in obedience to the truth. And that's how you purify your soul, is just in that obedience, you know, walking obedient to the truth that the Lord is laying out for us. And it says, unto unfeigned love. And, you know, Christ is love, and we, you know, it says love of the brethren, but, I mean, it's just, it's not just the brethren, it's, you know, loving one another, you know, from the heart, fervently. And that's the key. It's, you know, it's that love comes out of us, but that love is not from us. That love is Christ loving through us. You know, we gotta allow, you know, Christ to love through us, and that's from the heart. You know, that's from the inner loins of our heart. And it's very hard for us to love certain people, but the Christ in us can love through us, and that's, you know, that's the key right there. Having been begotten again, you know, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God, which liveth and abideth. And, you know, that was an area that we really, you know, that we have been, you know, born from above, you know, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, you know, of incorruptible, through the word of God, which liveth and abideth. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory thereof is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower falleth, but the word of the Lord abideth forever. And this is the word of good tidings, which we preached unto you. And, you know, that word, you know, liveth and abideth, you know, the corruptible seed, you know, came from Adam. You know, he corrupted the seed, but the incorruptible seed is through Jesus by the Spirit. And, you know, and it's through the word of God, which, you know, with liveth and abideth, you know, and so, you know, we've been born from above by the incorruptible seed, you know, through the word of God, you know, and that was, you know, and through the Spirit of Christ, you know, Christ was, you know, the word made flesh. And that, you know, that seed was implanted in our spirit. And, and Michael, you know, was talking, you know, we were talking about, you know, just in that little tiny seed is, you know, all the nature and character. And, you know, he's talking about an apple seed, you know, the sweetness of how that apple tastes, and, you know, just, you know, how that tree grows, and the red color, and just everything about that apple is in that little apple seed. And so, you know, all the characters, all the DNA, everything about that apple tree is in that tiny little seed. And it's the same thing with Christ. You know, that seed has been implanted in our spirit. You know, all of Jesus' character and all that, you know, is in that seed. And, you know, that seed just has to grow in us. You know, we just have that, you know, that seed in us. And, you know, you plant a seed in a garden, and that seed is going to bring forth of its own kind. You know, we got to let that Christ, you know, just bring forth of its own kind, you know, through us as far as that. And you know, it's kind of, you know, Michael brought up that, you know, when you do plant a seed in a garden, you know, you've got to, you know, it needs water, it needs the nutrition from the ground and that, and that seed comes up. But there's a lot of, you know, other plants in that garden, the weeds and all that are all intrusive, you know, that they don't need to be planted. They don't need to be watered. They just grow, you know, wildly. And they, you know, if you don't control those weeds, that they're going to take out, you know, that seed that's trying to bring forth fruit. And, you know, there's a lot more intrusive seeds and, you know, attacks, you know, on that plant than anything else, you know. And it's just, you know, it's just, you know, and he was just kind of, you know, it was just awesome to just really see, you know, him, you know, kind of growing up, you know, just kind of being in, you know, the backwoods and into nature and the hunting and just all the things he's seen out there. I haven't experienced that as much, but it's just kind of neat to see somebody with just the compassion of just seeing God and just his glory in, you know, in nature around us, you know. And, you know, he just said that, you know, this, you know, he's just kind of giving types and shadows of things that you see, you know, like a bunny. You know, there's, you know, these little bunnies or little fawns or whatever it is that are in the, you know, in the forest. But then there's 15 different animals, from wolves and coyotes and foxes and everything. They're after these little innocent bunnies, you know. And it's just like how we are in this world is, you know, it's just, you know, we're trying to walk, you know, godly before the Lord, you know, and there's, you know, 15 different, you know, things that are coming against us, you know, as far as that, trying to take us out, you know, as far as, you know, in this world type thing. And it's just, you know, just kind of neat to get a type. And, you know, but it's all through grace. And, you know, it's not really our works, but it's grace. You know, Jesus doesn't tell us, I want you to do better. You know, he simply says, you know, I want to do this through you. And, you know, that grace is, you know, just God's unconditional love for us. You know, and 2 Corinthians 5 says, wherefore, if any man is in Christ, you know, a new creature. He says, the old things are passed away. Behold, they have become new. So, you know, we're new creatures in Christ. And, you know, if you are in Christ and Christ is in you, that life of Christ, you know, that is entered into your spirit, you know, that's that seed that's been implanted, you know, in you and into your spirit. And that seed is, you know, his character, his nature. And, you know, that's all in us. I mean, that's all part of that new birth. And it's basically, it's grace. You know, it's a free gift. You know, we didn't do anything to earn it. You know, we can't be holy enough to get it, anything like that. It was just, God loved us so much that, you know, he just implanted that seed into us. Now it's, you know, it's up to us through our obedient to water that seed. And that's by staying in the Word. You know, we need to, you know, if we're going to become, you know, in the image of Christ, we got to know who Christ is. And, you know, and through the Word, you know, we just need to, you know, just, you know, come to know who, you know, who Christ is and who the Father is and that. And, you know, so that's really where we got to, you know, water that seed. And it's not, you know, trying to be better or, you know, anything like that. It's just, you know, you just got to, you know, we just have to believe it in faith that he's doing it through us. And we just have to surrender our minds and give place to him. And, you know, so he can live his life through us. And it's not through our works or what we do or anything like that. You know, we got to walk in obedience to the Word. If he shows us something, And, you know, we're not walking that obedience. I mean, we just have to repent and know that that's our old nature. And it's like, Lord, that's, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be like that. Just, you know, you got to do it through me. I can't do it, but you got to do it through me. And if, you know, if you have that humble and meek heart of just allowing the Lord to, you know, just to work through us, but we've got to give up our self-will of, you know, we've got to give up this world, you know, that the things that tie us so closely and, you know, pull us into the lusts and, you know, different things that are around us. And, you know, because really his righteousness and his holiness was implanted in us. And, you know, it's not really how hard we try or anything like that. We got to stop trying and just know that, you know, he's got to bring it forth through us through his, you know, his grace. You know, we just got to let that seed grow. You know, we don't have to work it. You know, when you plant a seed in the ground, you can't work it. You know, you can add a little bit of fertilizer, but that seed's got to grow on its own, you know, as far as that. So, you know, all we can do is just, you know, repent, put the word of God in us, and just, you know, walk, you know, with that renewed mind, just cast down the vain imaginations that don't line up with what we're reading. And, you know, it's like, Lord, you know, you've got to do it, you know, as far as that. So, and, you know, if we learn to give the things up, you know, give the things of the world up and all that, you know, the quicker we can, you know, come into the, you know, give those things up, give them to the Lord, repent of them and all that. But the things we want, you know, if we want to hang on to those things, you know, then the Lord's got to break us. You know, he's got to break us out of our will and the things we're hanging on to that are not pleasing to him, or our works. You know, if we're trying to go in our direction and not his direction, he's going to have to bring a correction. You know, he's going to have to do something to get us, you know, back in line as far as that. And, you know, some of us buck and, you know, for years, you know, trying to do what we think, and, you know, we just don't surrender to the Lord, you know, and we got to be broken and to a point where we finally say, okay, Lord, this isn't working. I surrender. I give up, you know, as far as that. And, you know, there's a lot of, religion out there that tries to get us into works and you know, it's, tries to, you know, discipline us. And, you know, and it's just another spirit living through us. You know, if we allow that to, you know, that religious spirit, it's just another spirit that's trying to live through us, and it's not Jesus as far as that. I mean, religion tries to control by putting you under the law or putting you into works or trying to discipline you and stuff like that. And Galatians 3:19 says, "What then is the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise has been made." You know, so that the law was put there, you know, because of the sins, because of the transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise has been made. And that seed, you know, is the seed that was implanted with us. So, you know, that the law was only here till that seed came, which is, you know, which is the, you know, the seed of Christ that was put into our spirit, you know. And 1 John 3:9 says, "Whosoever is begotten of God does not sin, because his seed abideth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is begotten of God." You know, so his seed abides in us. You know, that seed that is in us, that seed that he has implanted in us, cannot sin. And you know, and the Spirit of Christ, you know, that the Spirit of Christ cannot sin. So the new man cannot sin, but it's our old man that is, you know, that is sin. You know, our old man is nothing but sin, but that new seed that has been put in us cannot sin. So we must, you know, give way to that new man. And the more we come into, you know, we let that seed grow, the more we come into his character, you know, the more, you know, it that seed just, you know, starts sprouting up through us, you know, the less of that old sin nature is going to be exposed. And, you know, we, you know, through our efforts or our strengths, you know, through our, you know, through that, we can't stop sinning. But Christ's righteousness and holiness that is in us is what causes us not to sin. So, you know, we need to learn to, you know, live through or allow Christ to live through us or that seed to sprout through us, you know, by, and it's not by works or by striving, you know, it's really by just giving way and just letting the Lord do it. You know, it's just, you know, we just gotta, it's by grace. You know, we tend to evaluate, you know, our worth by what we do for God. And, you know, we value other people, other brethren around us, and, you know, what their worth is, you know, based on what they do for God or who they are in God or, you know, what title they've been given, the Reverend so-and-so and all this stuff, you know, you know, and that's basically just deception, you know, in the kingdom. And, you know, the deception is that, you know, it takes being somebody or a title or our works or our services or all that to please God. And, I mean, we can look at Mary and Martha and, really, you know, get an understanding. You know, it's not through our works. You know, he just wants, you know, fellowship is really what he wants. And, you know, he doesn't want, you know, I don't know. He doesn't want us working for him. You know, he wants us to fellowship with him. And, you know, and sometimes we just, you know, we're trying to do the works of God and we're trying to get people saved and we're trying to evangelize and we're trying to, you know, just do all these things. And, you know, sometimes I look at it and it's like, you know, if, you know, I mean, our heart, you know, we got a coworker, something that's, you know, really caught up in the world and we're trying to preach to them and all this stuff. And we're, you know, sometimes they don't want to hear it. We keep trying to drive it home and stuff like that, you know. And it's just like sometimes I think that, you know, if God really wanted this coworker saved, I mean, he could show up in his bedroom tonight, have a 5-minute conversation with him, put the fear of God in him, and that guy will be saved, you know. But sometimes it's just we're gonna drive it home. We're gonna get this guy saved, and you know what? Sometimes God isn't in it. You know, I've come to that realization. It's my works, and it's not God. And you know, we've got to see that. You know, it's by his grace we got saved. It's by his grace that our mind was changed. It's by his grace that he gave us a hunger, and we just need to do something with what he's put in us. And, you know, Galatians 2:21 says, you know, I do not make void the grace of God. For if righteousness is through the law, then Christ died for naught. And 5:4 says, ye are severed from Christ, ye who would be justified by the law. You are fallen away from grace. And, you know, they had fallen away from, you know, the grace of God. And, you know, because they went back under the law. And, you know, that new seed came. We're no longer under the law. And man wants to put you under the law. Man wants to get you into works. And, they're trying to make Christians, you know, live a life through their own ability, their own strengths, you know, all that stuff. And it's just, you know, they're falling away. You know, Galatians 3:3 says, "Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye not perfected in the flesh?" You know, they started off walking in the Spirit, and now they're trying to get perfected in the flesh. They're trying to get perfected through their works. And, you know, and it's just this, you know, you got to do better. You got to, you know, it's up to you, man. You got to do better. You got to quit sinning, you know. And, you know, the church tells us, you know, you got to be born again. You got to come into the kingdom. You got to stop sinning. You got to try harder. You got to, you know, be more committed. You got to be in love. You got to do this. You got to do that. And it's just, it's all this works. And I'm just seeing where, you know, that wasn't Jesus. I mean, he just wasn't, you know, I just didn't see him in, you know, in this, you know, in this works thing, you know? And, so I'm just really seeing where where the church is just, you know, that religion, you know, they want you to get into religion instead of relationship, and that religion, they've got just a complex theological thing of, you know, just opinions of man and what we believe and, you know, all these principles and you know, how you need to act and how you need to dress and you know, all these rules and regulations, and they're kind of, you know, they're just based on, you know, what man has come up with. You know, a lot of it, it's just they take the word, they twist it, and they try to put their own ideas in, and they try to, you know, they try to manipulate and control and get you to become something, you know, by putting the law on you, and, you know, they're trying to, you know, just control your behavior, you know, through, you know, this is what you need to do. And, you know, it says, you know, I just see it where it's just a lot of works that, you know, that we're really, the good news is that, you know, we're under the grace of God. And you know, Jesus says he wants to, you know, do it for us, you know, but religion teaches us that we have to do it, and, you know, you got to be better and do better and all these different things, you know. And, you know, we spend a lot of time trying to, I know in the past, I spent a lot of time trying to, you know, earn the favor of God or earn God's love or, you know, just trying to, you know, do the right things. And I just found myself, I was putting myself under the law. I didn't need the religion to do it. I was actually putting myself under the law. And I heard a preacher say that, you know, you can spend your whole life making apple pie for God, and you get to heaven and find out that he doesn't like apple pie, you know. And that's where Matthew 7, you know, comes in, says, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy by thy name, and by thy name cast out demons, and by thy name do many mighty works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquities." And that workers of iniquity, you know, it's, when I looked up iniquity, it's, you know, it's workers of wickedness, you know, workers of transgression, workers of unrighteousness. You know, the whole time they were in their self-efforts trying to earn favor of man and trying to earn favor of God. And, you know, they were basically, everything they were doing in their own eyes were mighty works. But during that whole time, They were just caught up in their works, and they really never got to know God. They never really fellowshipped with God because they were so busy in their own works. And they were doing things that God didn't even, you know, necessarily tell them to do. You know, they were trying to earn, you know, God's favor or man's favor, whatever it was. You know, they thought what they were doing was holy and pure and right in God's eyes. But because it was all their own strength and their own effort, you know, they were actually, you know, transgressing from God. And you know, were considered, you know, wicked and unrighteous because they were trying to, you know, gain God's love, not knowing that he already loved them. And he said, "Depart from me, I never knew you." You know, who are you? So they never built that relationship with God. You know, and you know, I'm just seeing that, you know, we're really created. I mean, he really wants to fellowship with us. He really wants to get to know us, and we just really need to get to know him. And, you know, Jesus wants to share his life, you know, with us and through us as far as that. So, 2 Corinthians says, "Wherefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature." You know, we got to remember that the old things are passed away. That old man is passed away. Behold, they are become new. You know, if we are in Christ and, you know, Christ is in us, you know, his spirit is, you know, is entered in us. All that Jesus is just implanted in us. You know, that seed is in us. We just gotta walk in that, you know. So, you know, I looked at the, John 10 and 31 says, you know, the Jews wanted to stone Jesus. And Jesus said, "Many good works have I shown you from the Father. For which of those works do you stone me?" And I was saying that Jesus wasn't even taking credit for the works. You know, he told them that they were from the Father. And what were the, you know, the good works he was doing? You know, he wasn't, you know, raising money for the poor, or building big synagogues or, you know, that. I mean, Jesus was out there healing the sick and raising the dead and cleansing the lepers and casting out demons and doing these works that he said were from the Father. And it says the Jews answered him, "For good works we stone thee not, but the blasphemy, and because thou being a man makest thyself God." You know, and he says, Jesus answered them, "It is not written in your law, I said ye are gods. If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, say ye of him who the Father sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemies. Because I said, I am a son of God, if I do the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do them, though you believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and understand the Father is in me, and I in the Father." You know, so Jesus was out healing the sick, raising the dead, cleansing the lepers, and the Jews wanted to stone him because, you know, they thought that, you know, he was making himself a god, you know, by calling himself a son of God, you know, and it's just, the world always wants to, you know, to twist it and, you know, bring you down and that. And it's just, you know, we need to do the works of the Father and give him the glory and not us the glory. And, you know, it's the things that, you know, that we know come after faith and grace. It's just praying and, you know, being led of the Lord. And it's not, you know, building buildings and all these things, unless God has told us to do that, because in most of that, man takes the glory, and it's not, God isn't in it, and it's to lift us up, it's to lift our name up, it's to give us a title, it's give us a respect or whatever it is, and He doesn't want any of that. He just wants us humble and meek, and it's just, the Jews were so religious, and, Jesus was doing things that they were unable to do, and, they're coming against Him because, he doesn't line up with their doctrine, and, it's just, He's given them a bad image or whatever it was, so I just, was really seeing where, we just got to see it's by the grace of God. We got to let Him do it through us. It's not our ability. It's not our strength. We just have to let that seed grow. We need to get out of the way. We need to get our will out of the way. Not my will, but Thy will. And it's like, Lord, where do You want me? We just got to be, just humble before Him and just let Him work through us and just have a heart of repentance. When the flesh, flares up or, we stumble or we do something to just to repent and say, Lord, I don't want that. Just get that out of here. Just, Lord, You got to do it through me. So, and we just got to let that seed grow because everything is in us, all His character, everything is in that seed and it's implanted in us. And sometimes we're the one shading it. We're the one that's not watering it. We're not in the Word. We're not allowing it to grow. We're just sometimes it starts growing, we chop its head off and just through our flesh or through, being driven by our lusts or whatever it is. So I just, it's really been seeing the awesomeness of what God has put out in front of us through gardening, through nature, I guess what Michael did is kind of expanded my thinking of just seeing God in everything. I'm trying to see Him in people and situations, but when it comes down to nature and everything around us, it's just, we got to open our eyes because it's amazing. Amen.
It says in the scripture that we are His workmanship, and it says that you are God's husbandry, and you are God's building. And God has, you are His garden, and He's planted within you. And when, like when He says, you're being born, in 1 Peter, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. For all flesh is as grass, the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower thereof falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. And there's been a planting, in 2 Peter 1, he says, wherefore are given us unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. There's a planting of the Lord that's been planted within all of His true vessels. And it's like what we're talking, what Tim was sharing, it's His DNA, it's the divine nature planted within you. And as it says in Mark 4, when he says, as a man, the kingdom of God is as a man who casts seed in the ground, and he knows not how it grows, but the earth brings forth of itself. And he says he rises not day and night and knows not how it grows, but the earth brings forth of itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear, and then the harvest, or then the sickle is thrust in the harvest. But the point being is that I think when he says, and he arises day and night, this almost reminds me of when I was in school and the little kids would plant, they'd do a little thing for this kid to let him plant a seed. And first thing they're doing is wanting to dig and look and see if it's growing. They dig up under the soil, see if it's growing, you know, because it seemed like it's been too long. And the Lord was, you know, he said the kingdom of God is as a grain of mustard seed, and though it's the least of seeds, when it grows, it becomes the greatest of herbs and becomes a tree that the fowls of the air can dwell in. And this is the momentum and the power within that seed is awesome to behold. We've seen sidewalks cracked by little seeds that are split wide open. I saw an incredible thing in a canyon. I hiked down into a canyon in Northern California, and this sheer, smooth lava rock was a crack, and out of this crack was growing a fig tree hanging over the river. It was an incredible thing to behold, the power of that. And God has put the greatest seeds is his divine nature, the planting of the Lord within us. And I have leaned awful hard all my life on the first half of that scripture that says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And I've leaned very hard on that. But I think the latter part of that verse has far more intensity than this first half that says, for it is God at work within you to will and do of his own good pleasure. When Jeremiah was spoken to the Lord said, Jeremiah, before you were formed in the womb, I knew thee. I sanctified thee a prophet to the nations. And he said, Ah, Lord God, behold, I'm a child that cannot speak. And the Lord said, say not to your child, you go where I send you, what I command you, that will you speak. And when our hearts are in cooperation with God, we're not resisting the word of God, we're not resisting the work of God in us, we desire, then we can rest in the fact that there is a work, a planting of the Lord, and it will bring forth after its own kind that nature of Christ, the greatest of all seeds, planted within our nature, the divine nature. And if we will just yield to the process, it's not going to be a sweat equity, it's going to be an abiding thing. And really, the greatest strides we'll make in God is in a place of abiding rest where we cease from our own works. And in that place, just the very nature of Christ with the momentum and the sovereign dealings of God in our life, that thing will bring forth after its own kind. The DNA of Christ himself will come forth in a people if we will yield to the process. And I'm just seeing in my own life something bigger than me is going on inside of this vessel. And I have so much of my life, I've been an intense striver. I've been, a striver on steroids, as it were. And the Lord is bringing me to a place where I realize that, as Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. But through Christ, we can do all things. And I just, with all of my heart right now, I'm becoming aware that there's something apart from me that's going on. It's Christ himself working within me to will and do of his own pleasure. And we are his workmanship. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. And I just believe we need to, there's a place where we need to just get a little less of the sweat equity in a sense of abiding, learning to abide, learning to rest, learning to just yield to that, the life and the nature and the spirit of Christ that's been planted within us. And I've never seen an apple tree grunting or groaning. I've never seen a grapevine doing that. But as they partake of the sun that shines on them, the water that rains down on them, and they just stay in that abiding place, they don't, there's not a, nothing going on except for the fact that every, you know, you look in where it says, how are the dead raised? It says in 1 Corinthians 15, and with which body do they come? He said, thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except to die. And that which thou sowest is not the body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance to be wheat or some other grain. And God gives it a body as it pleases him to every seed, his own body. And there's something in the planting of the Lord within us. This seed is the greatest of all seeds. And God has planted it within your spirit. And as long as we will cooperate and our hearts are there and the desire, if we'll just learn to abide and to yield to him and let faith be mixed with the word and the planting of the Lord, it will bring forth after its own kind. And I think when he was saying Mark 4, he rises day and night. He does not know how it grows. But the earth brings forth of itself. That seed will bring forth Christ in you. If you'll stay in that abiding place, if you'll mix faith with the Word of God, and you'll see the wonder of the second half of that verse to be much greater than work out your own salvation. I believe in that. But there's something so great. It is God at work within you to will and do of his own good pleasure.
Well, let's just go ahead. We only have a few minutes left. Does anybody have anything to share? Anything that this, you know, has stirred up in their spirit? Any thoughts on what's been shared tonight? Anybody need any prayer? Or?
Oh, we all need prayer. Praise God. We all need prayer, I tell you.
All right. Well, let's just pray then. So, Father, we just thank you for tonight, Lord. We just thank you for just this word that you've brought forth tonight, Lord. Lord, help us to all yield what you're doing in us, Lord. Help us to learn how to just abide in you, how to just to enter your rest and stay in that rest, Lord, and to walk in your just obedient to your word, just obedient to what you're showing us, Lord. We just thank you for just opening our eyes to truth, Lord, and giving us a heart of repentance and giving us a heart to, you know, just to be sanctified from this world, be just set apart from our flesh, to see the things that are unpleasing to you, Lord, and know, Lord, that you are working in us. And we just thank you for just, what you're doing in us, Lord. We just praise you for that, Lord. We just thank you for just opening just renewing our mind and letting the mind of Christ develop in us, is that seed grows in us, that is, you know, forcing out our old carnal thoughts, our old carnal lusts, our old carnal thinking, what has come down through our lineage, you know, the sins of our father, that, you know, the curse that we have been, you know, brought under through the lineage, that we're no longer under that curse, this seed is growing in us, and the things that we were, you know, taught in the lies of the world and the wisdom of the world, that we're coming into your knowledge. And we just thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for that renewed mind. We thank you that we're giving up our will, and you're showing us the things that, you know, our works and our striving and our efforts and everything we're trying to do to make this come about, Lord. And we just ask you, just expose that, Lord, where we're, you know, just where we're trying to work it, not allowing you to do it through us, Lord. So we just thank you for just exposing those areas in us, Lord. And we just thank you for just sanctifying us from that religious harlot, Lord. Just setting us free from, you know, the bondages that man, you know, has put us under through their, you know, rules and regulations and just opening our eyes to what you really have for us, that we're no longer under the law, but we're under your grace, and that, you know, that seed has come and that law has been done away with, Lord, and that we're under that grace, and that seed is growing in us. And we just thank you, Lord. Lord, we just thank you for just blessing everybody in this fellowship tonight, Lord, just working in them for your good pleasures, Lord. We just thank you for just the answered prayers, as far as what you're doing in Judy's, you know, daughter, and healing Matthew's teeth, and just, you know, Jackie's testimony as far as what you're doing with her niece, and just, you know, it's just awesome the things that you're doing through, you know, just us coming together, putting our faith together, just believing, and we just glorify you, Lord. We just thank you. You are just an awesome Father. We thank you for this fellowship, this time where we can come together And we just thank you, Lord, for just all you're doing in our lives, Lord. Just bless everybody's week this week and just guide and direct them and just show them the distractions and the stumbling blocks that, you know, that are put out before them, Lord. And just give them a total hunger for just your truth, Lord. We just praise you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good night, everybody. It's been another awesome night, and we'll see you all next week.